this time over extra cover. Four more. Warner on song. Oh yes, Rabada. He loves bowling at the end. He loves bowling any time. Nicely played from Cole. He uses his feet and crashes it down the ground.
Welcome to another episode of IPL on Pod, First Post Sports IPL podcast. I am your host, Ujjwal Singh. I have with me my colleagues, Jigar Mehta and Shubham Pandey. Guys, hope you are enjoying the IPL.
Yeah.
It's a great tournament. Jigar, what about you?
Yeah, Ujjwal. Enjoying the IPL. Good start. We have seen some varied matches where small totals have not been chased down and big totals have been chased down. So it's kind of a mixed experience.
Yeah, that's IPL for all of us. So we are 10 days into IPL 2021. Only 11 matches done. But there's already so much to discuss, as it happens with IPL every time. RCB currently lead the point table. So surprise, surprise. 3 wins out of 3. I mean, they have been the perennial underachievers, but you never know what is going to happen this season. But right now, I don't want to raise the hopes of RCB fans that maybe their performance would decide. But Sunrisers Hyderabad are at the bottom of the table with 3 defeats from 3 matches. That's very bad start. But let's start our discussion with RCB and the enigma that is Glenn Maxwell. RCB have 3 wins from 3 games and it has been a team effort. But Maxwell has consistently scored valuable runs for them in all these 3 encounters. Apart from bowling a few overs, and we know that he's a very good fielder. Last season, he only scored 108 runs in 13 games for erstwhile Kings XI Punjab, who are now Punjab Kings. And he failed to hit even a single 6. This season, he has already scored 176 runs in just 3 games. And his 78 against KKR helped RCB post a mammoth 204, a game that RCB eventually won comfortably. So this brings us to a point that what really is Maxwell? Like a season, he completely fails to deliver. I mean, season after season, and then you get to see him doing so well for RCB. I mean, it was felt like maybe nobody will go for him in the auction, but then RCB went with that punt and bid 14.25 crore for him. And credit to Kohli, Simon Cattage and Mike Hessen for making Maxwell perform. So Jigar, I'm going to come to you. I remember having this discussion with you and Shantanu in one of the podcast episodes last season. We were talking about whether anybody will even bid for him or not. But what do you think is making Maxwell click so well for RCB this time?
Yeah, I remember that we had this discussion in the review episode last season. And I told you that with Maxwell, you will expect him, you will expect the teams to bid for him because he was playing really well in the national colours. And after the IPL also, he played some really great innings for Australia. So, yeah, I mean, this time around, we have seen some slight changes in his batting approach as well. He's mixed his caution and aggression really well. And basically, getting that number 4 slot for him has steadied his mind, basically. He was shifted down the order or up the order a lot of times in the last few seasons. So this getting on to that number 4 spot, getting that settled number 4 spot is helping him. And also, if you say, he is taking up a lot of responsibilities. He is playing under pressure. You saw that last 2 matches he played really two really good innings under pressure. He's been delivering under pressure. And Maxwell is a kind of player who is a confidence player. You saw with Rishabh Pant the confidence with which he was playing. He just went into the flow right from the Australia series, England series. And Maxwell is kind of a confidence player. Once he gets that confidence, once he gets that first bit of runs, then he can just be unstoppable. So all these things and a new team with the team management backing him to the hilt has proved to be a boon for him and a boon for the RCB team also.
Yeah, definitely. Shivam, I want to bring you in here. As Jigar said, he's playing with a lot more freedom and with a lot of more responsibility as well. Maxwell gave one interview last year, I think, to PTI, where he said that his role is more clearer when he's playing for the Australian team. He knows what he has to do. But when he comes to IPL, there is always this constant chopping and changing, and he's never clear about what is expected out of him. So do you think this particular role that he has been given by RCB, that you have to bat at number four, you are our middle order batsman and you're not really a finisher, in the sense that I was looking at his IPL numbers and in number three and number four and number five slots where he has played the most, I mean, over 10 innings, I mean, he has also opened and he has also played after number five, but most he has batted at number three, number four and number five. And his worst numbers are at number five, number three and number four. Suits him the best. So do you think that clear plan and the freedom that you're not really a finisher, but you are going to go in the middle order, we are going to give you responsibility to build the innings for us, plus you can provide that flourish to our innings. Do you think that is what has changed Maxwell's complete performance this year?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Because, you know, as Jigar said, the last few seasons, he was given too many slots to bat on, you know, he would come at five or six and then there would be just too much, you know, the required rate would be too much for him to, you know, just come and start exploding from ball number one. And as Katic said, you know, I was listening to Katic during these mid-match interviews that, you know, he's not that sort of a player who would just come in and start, you know, hitting the ball from ball number one like Pollard or, say, Andre Russell. He's someone who, you know, takes some time, not too much time, but he takes his time and comes and, you know, gets his eye in. In the last IPL, you know, we were seeing him come and start those switch hits. He was batting with a different technique. He was batting with a very open stance and, you know, those batting with a very different grip as well. He was holding the bat differently. So it appeared as if somebody had told him that you have to go and, you know, play aggressive cricket from ball one. But this is not the case this time around, you know. And I think good right team has happened to him, you know, at the right time. Of course, he also spoke of how this is a full team and he's under pressure to deliver. Because since 2014, he hasn't been able to deliver for different teams from DC to Punjab to now he's in RCB. So he was under pressure to deliver. I think he got the right team and the right management. You know, and Mike Hassan has and Saman Katic has worked brilliantly at the back end. They know what they want. And plus, you know, he's come to a team. The dynamics matter in IPL, in which team you're playing for. So he's come to a team where he has a Kohli and he has a De Villiers. So he's not the star attraction. The whole pressure is not on him. So he gets that cushion, you know, because there's Kohli at the top, then followed by him, and then there's De Villiers to follow. So he plays. It has given him a sense of security and freedom to bat. Earlier he used to have the pressure of single-handedly doing things. So I think pressure of performing, his involvement, more involvement in the game, the team environment, coaches talking to him and captain backing him has played a role this year. Also, you know, speaking about technique-wise, I think he's made some changes. If you go back to last year, he was so much open. And I think he used to bat with a twisted way. He used to hold the bat in a twisted way, which would more often than slice the ball high up in the air. So his hitting has been clean this year. So these changes he has brought, and I think that it has worked for him, and I think it has worked perfectly for RCB as well this year.
Yeah, two very important points that you have pointed out, Shubham. You said that he was expected earlier to come and hit from the start, which he was failing to do, and the name that I was expecting you guys to take, AB de Villiers. Jigar, I'm going to come to you. The fact that he's playing at number four, where he can build his innings, he can take some time to settle, and the fact that AB de Villiers probably the best batsman that is there in maybe in IPL right now, because the innings that he played against KKR, I mean, coming and hitting from this word go and finishing the innings the way he did. I mean, how big a factor that is? How big a factor AB de Villiers batting behind Maxwell is? And Maxwell now doesn't have that pressure on him anymore that I have to go and I have to finish the innings for the team. He knows that de Villiers is there, almost a supernatural man. He's going to come and finish the job. I have to just play my natural innings. I can take some time to settle, as he did against KKR after Kohli and Patidar got out early on, and then slowly changed the gear and started scoring a lot of runs. So that cushion of AB de Villiers, how crucial has that been for Maxwell and obviously for RCB also? The middle order looks very, very settled and strong.
Yeah. So middle order has become strong because of Maxwell's inclusion. And speaking of AB de Villiers, Ujjwal, the point was that last year they were too dependent on AB de Villiers to finish off the innings. And that in turn created a lot of pressure on AB de Villiers as well. But he delivered last season. And this season too, he is delivering. The thing is, getting Maxwell is a win-win for both RCB and Maxwell, basically. So RCB last year struggled in the middle overs. They were struggling to get their pace of the innings going, and that was hurting them a lot. AB de Villiers used to then come and blast his way through quick 30s, 40s, and 50s. So that was a point where they were very over dependent on de Villiers, and they were not getting their approach right. Basically, they were too conservative, and Virat Kohli had spoken about it. He had said that they need to bat freely. So Glenn Maxwell coming in that middle order, it gives them the freedom also, where Maxwell hits his shots, and for Maxwell it gives him time to just get his eye in and then go for the shots. I'll give you one stat. In the middle overs so far, Maxwell has scored the most number of runs in the middle overs. That is 122 runs. And he has scored at a strike rate of 145 with 11 fours and 6 sixes. Last season, he struggled to get even a single six. Now he has hit 8 sixes overall in the tournament, and 6 of them in the middle overs. So that's a very big boost for RCB in that middle overs. Those middle overs are really crucial in IPL. A lot of teams struggle in those middle overs to get going. But with Maxwell coming in, this middle overs thing is it seems to be sorted for them.
Yeah, so Harshal is bowling superbly at the death. Shahbaz also handling nose with the ball in hand. So, and you got to give it to Siraj as well. He's been with them for many seasons now. And and the Australia tour has done wonders for him, and he's improved his bowling at that. As you saw today, the 19th over that he bowled to Andre Russell was superb. Not only because there was still on display, but also because there was a clear plan for Russell that he stuck to. He had to bowl those Yorkers outside off stump, and he consistently bowled that. So you know, he's more a disciplined bowler. He knows what he's doing, and all these factors have come in and made RCB the team that they're today, and that is why the results are showing.
Yeah, I was actually going to come to you to talk about how hopeful a fan of RCB can be about their campaign. And as you said, the bowling also has complemented the batting very well. Why we picked Maxwell in the beginning is basically because they have paid a lot of money for Maxwell, and Maxwell has in the recent past failed continuously, but the way he's batting right now, the temperament that he's showing, the hard hitting that he's doing, it has obviously strengthened the middle order and complemented AB de Villiers as well. As and now with Harshal Patel and the other bowlers doing well, that makes RCB a very good proposition, no doubt, for this season. All right, let's move on from the top of the points table to the bottom of the points table, from RCB to Sunrisers Hyderabad. Sunrisers Hyderabad are last in the points table, winless, having lost 3 out of 3. Most importantly, they have failed to chase down a target in all those 3 games. Runs have come from the top order, but the middle order has failed to take them home. So far, Kane Williamson has not played due to an elbow injury. But if he comes back, It would be imperative for SRH to bring him in because he would strengthen that middle order and give them the balance. Obviously, a proven, a world-class international player. But then who should go out? I mean, considering Rashid Khan is a given and David Warner is the captain, would you put Bairstow out for Williamson because then you want to have another overseas bowler? Or would you not have two overseas bowler? Would you have only one overseas bowler and Bairstow and Williamson together? So that's going to be very interesting for SRH. I'm going to come to Shubham to talk about the same. Shubham, what are you going to do? If Williamson comes in, we have seen this towards the tail end of the last season for SRH. They kept Bairstow out for Williamson. Do you think that is what they should do? I mean, for the team balance?
Yeah, I think they'll have to play both Williamson and Bairstow anyhow because, you know, they have no experience in the middle order. So they need Williamson over there and they can't sacrifice someone who is doing so well at the top. I mean, it would be really criminal to drop Bairstow after what he did against Mumbai Indians a night ago. I think that is his spot at the top. You know, SRH had to push him back at number four as Williamson was not there. He was not fit. And Ridhiman Saha opened with Warner because he had done well in the last couple of games last season. He couldn't do well this season, so they had to make those changes. And, you know, eventually Bairstow came up and he showed what he can do right at the top. So I think he is at his best over there, you know, at number one and number two, and should continue. And I guess when Williamson is fit, I think he said that in the last interview that he gave to Sunrisers Hyderabad, that he should be back within a week. So I think he should come back ahead of Holder or Mujib who played in the last game, followed by, you know, Pandey and then the rest of the players. I also feel that because they had bought Kedar Jadhav, who was a surprise bite for that price, I think they need to try him out as well in somewhere in the middle order. So maybe get rid of Virat Singh or Abhishek Sharma. Maybe Virat Singh, because Abhishek also gives you those couple of overs if needed. And they can also try out because then they would need one bowler as well. So I think they can also try out Siddharth Kaul because he had a good Vijay Hazare and Shahin Mushtaq Ali Trophy. So he was among the wickets. So I think they can make these changes, play these three you know international players at the top: Warner, Bairstow, Kane, and then Rashid, of course, and then try to mix up it with good talent because Shankar showed that he can hit. He's also doing well with the ball. So, yeah, I think a good mix of these players.
Yeah, Jigar, I mean, one of the reasons that Williamson became so regular for SRH last season and Bairstow has had to go out, I mean, at the expense of Williamson, especially because Bairstow wasn't really contributing with the bat. I mean, right now he's giving you runs, but last season, I mean, there are no guarantees in IPL. Last season, he didn't give that many runs, so he has to go out. Shaha came at the top of the order. Williamson became that... glue that made the middle order stick together. Then you had Holder. This season, what they have done is that Bairstow, Warner and Rashid Khan obviously have been the regular overseas players. And they have played Nabi in one game, Holder in one game, and then Mujibur Rahman. So what do you think? If Williamson comes in, is it going to be at the expense of that overseas, let's say, all-rounder or bowler? Or is he going to compete directly with Bairstow?
I think they would like to play both of them, basically, because Bairstow has form with him and Williamson is kind of a banker, as Warner said, that he is kind of a banker for the team who you rely on in that middle order. And that middle order and lower middle order has been a problem for SRH for quite some time now. So the Indian batsmen basically... are not stepping up when required. So that middle order needs Kane Williamson and they should get him in as soon as he is fit. So basically the conundrum for SRH is who do they leave out for Williamson? So I think that fourth slot, which is the fourth foreign slot, which is there, the first three slots would be Warner, Bairstow and Rashid Khan. And the fourth slot, which is that Nabi, Holder and Mujib slot, those who have played, that might go to Williamson. They should play these four foreigners. And then the problem with them is that they do not possess a quality spin all-rounder. They are playing in Chennai and Delhi most of their games. So these are slower pitches and they would require spinner. That's why he brought in Mujib in the last game. They needed an extra spin option. So the fact that they do not have a quality spinning all-rounder is what is kind of pegging them back. I think what they should do is they should try and bring in Jagdisha Suchit and they would expect more of the other all-rounders that are there in the 11. That is Abhishek Sharma. Abhishek Sharma, they need to make sure that he delivers game in, game out, so that he delivers that left arm off spin also. And Jagdisha Suchit also comes in with lower order hitting. He is a handy lower order batsman also. So that might give them a bit of a balance with regards to lower order batting also. So I think Williamson has to come in straight away, because that they have a we saw last game Bairstow just went berserk and then they just collapsed. They couldn't carry on and they couldn't chase down a very moderate total. So Williamson has to come in. He provides a lot of stability in that middle order.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and that's the sense. That's my gut feeling as well, that this is the way SRH is going to go. As Shivam said, it would be criminal to drop Bairstow. Bairstow is obviously giving them runs. So you have to keep Bairstow on the current form, at least for now. And that means, given that Warner and Rashid would definitely play, it means Nabi, Mujib or Holder, whoever that is, that fourth overseas player has to miss out in place of Williams. And that means, apart from Rashid Khan, they probably have to depend on an all-Indian bowling attack. And that can be comprising of Bhubaneswar, Natarajan, Sandeep Sharma. You also have Shahbaz Nadeem and Suchit, as Jigar suggested. Then you have Abdul Samad and Abhishek, who can obviously deliver a few overs. But Shubham, what is your gut feel? Do you think SRH can turn things around from here? I mean, or do you think it's looking ominous for them? I mean, even if Williamson comes in, do you think they are a good enough side after this losing three games from three? I mean, it's going to be very difficult to qualify playoffs from here.
Look, I think they are at the same juncture where Kings 11 were last time. I think Punjab Kings, who were Kings 11, last time around. So I think Kings 11 also pushed. By the time they started doing well, it was too late. I think not everything is lost at this point of time for Sunrisers Hyderabad. They have got the quality. They have got the team. And I think it's all about, you know, the right combinations working together for you. And once that happens, you never know. I mean, things can... As Jigar spotted, I think that what has been wrong with them is their middle order and lower middle order. I think they just need to sort that out. Also, they have only chased totals in the last three games, the first three games that they've played. So we don't know how good a side they are. So maybe, you know, flip of coin may change their luck, or they find somebody, Williamson comes back, things might change. So we can still say that SRH can't turn things around from here.
Yeah, as Ujwal, you pointed out.
Last season also, they did not have a great start. In the first 9 matches, right, they had won just 3 matches. So, yeah, right. And then they went on a roll, basically. Williamson and all started performing and they made it to the playoffs. So, I think all is not lost. They can come back.
Yeah, and that is one of the reason why I have this as one of the talking points, because as you said, that late flourish came as a result of the team changes that they did. I mean, talking about foreign personnel, they had a Holder coming in later as a replacement for Mitch Marsh, if I'm not wrong. And then when he became a part of the playing 11 with Williamson, they suddenly became a much better side. They had more bowling options, quality bowling options, and they had a middle order with Holder and Williamson who were able to take them home more often than not, because that was a problem last season also, because they had Priyam Garg, they had Abhishek, they had Abdul Samad, who were too young for this stage. I guess they are facing the same issue this time. And even at times, if I can be brutally honest, I think they have also been guilty of Bairstow and Manish Pandey maybe in playing a little dated T20 innings. I think in the first match, they both scored 50, if I'm not wrong, but they I think it was not T20 pace innings. I mean, it is easy because, I mean, it is easy for anyone to blame them because they have lost the game. That can also be an argument from someone. But I just feel that one of them needed to score at a much higher rate because they scored runs, they stabilized the innings, but then they left too much towards the end. So that's also a change I feel that SRH needs to do.
Yes,
no, but I think it's not about
go on.
Yeah, I think with Pandey, you're absolutely right. I mean, with Bairstow, maybe he was stuck. You know, this is not the way he plays. But with Pandey, this has been a trend. You know, for the last couple of seasons, at SRH only he's played, I think, with a strike rate below 110, which is kind of criminal in T20 leagues and T20 tournaments, where you can't if you're batting, in the middle overs while you are chasing the target, you can't bat with such low strike rates. You know, clearly we know about, yes, you need to take the game deep and everything, but in T20, taking the game deep isn't really an ideology. You know, you have to keep up with the run rate, required rate. And I think Pandey has been a big reason why, even as you've spotted, you know, his 50 was also a 55 balls or something. So I think strike rate is clearly a big reason why SRH have fallen out in the last three games as well.
Yeah, Ujwal. Yeah. I would like to add to this. Firstly, the fact that SRH now need to get their 11 right. A lot of teams last year also struggled to get the combination right. That's where Mumbai Indians is sort of a sorted team, where they know that what is their playing 11. They make just a single change according to the conditions. But most of the teams find it difficult to get the combination right, and that's where they lag behind at the start of the tournament. And this time around, SRH, again, they are looking for that right combination, which they need to sort it out as soon as possible. And the other thing is about the strike rate that you guys mentioned regarding Manish Pandey. So basically, a lot of teams have struggled to... We will come to this point ahead also in the going forward also when we talk about teams struggling. But a lot of teams haven't adapted to the pitches here. And some of the short selections were really poor from SRH. They bottled the chase in the last game. So there was no need to go bang. They could have played sensible cricket. And some of the short selections were very poor. Manish Pandey, as you spoke about his strike rate, he might be averaging 50, but his strike rate is 112. So 112 strike rate is very... very low when you compare to the other teams, when you compare to a Maxwell who was batting in the middle overs with a strike rate of 145. So that they can pick it up by making some changes in their batting order. I spoke to Shantanu and Anish also before the start of the tournament, and I told them that one thing they should consider is the fact that they should maybe promote Abdul Samad up the order. He's batting too low. He's then getting about 1 or 2 hours to provide that late flourish. He's a very clean hitter of the ball, and he can provide that impetus in the middle overs, which they really need to up the ante. So I think some changes in that middle order can provide them the impetus they need.
Yeah, obviously they are in need of changes, and they are in need of stability as well as some hard hitting. So that's the balance that SRH have to find. But time to move on to our next topic, and this is an interesting trend that I have picked up. I mean, teams failing to chase down small targets is not a very new thing in T20 or in IPL. And especially this season, we have seen that chasing is a very difficult job. When you are playing in Chennai, it is becoming increasingly difficult to do that in Chennai because the pitches are slowing down and all that. But there are two games that come to my mind. I'm sure you both also remember it very clearly when KKR lost to Mumbai Indians, and it was a very small target. I think it was 151 or 53, and then again Sunrisers Hyderabad lost to Mumbai Indians when again the target was 151, I guess. And in both the games, I went back to see what was the equation towards the end, and it was almost a run a ball. I mean, for KKR, you had Dinesh Karthik, Andre Russell playing, and they just needed 22 from the last three overs. That's 22 of 18. And Sunrisers needed 31 from 24, and they still had Vijay Shankar there, and I think Abdul Samad. And in both cases, the team failed to chase. It's not as if you really needed some big shots there. All you needed was singles and doubles. So my point here is, the trend that I am picking up is that in an era where we are talking about constant hard hitting, and an era where there is no role for an anchor man, maybe we are getting a generation of batsmen who don't know how to take singles and doubles. I mean, if we remember, Andre Russell was struggling to get the bat on the ball. And I mean, it's the same case with in this SRH game also. If only the batsmen are able to take those couple of singles and doubles, and if they are able to play in the gaps, I mean, these chases would become very easy for the teams. I mean, what do you think of it, Shubham?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, why teams have failed to chase so far has to do with poor batting. That is what I, you know, it's as simple as that. As you pointed out, you know, if you take the example of last night's game or today's game, the way KKR chased, you know, Shankar and everybody who was coming in, he was settled, but he was not sure whether he would be able to, you know, take the game deep. So he was trying so many shots to, you know, get the required rate down. And even today, you saw today was completely different. I mean, RCB were bowling exceptionally well as well. But you know, it has to do with as we have spoken earlier also, the at Chennai, the teams have failed to chase. It has to do with the pitch. There are two things. It has to do with the pitch, and it has to do with batting. Clearly, SRH's batting pretty much ends after the fall of third wicket, you know. And then there are these youngsters who come in and they try and play their shots, and then eventually you see that the wickets are falling in a cluster, you know, in the same over two or three wickets are falling. So you'll never get a momentum in a chase when you are losing wickets, not even at regular intervals, but in the same over. So it has just been that trend which has happened in this week of IPL. So of course, you know, chasing at Chennai has become difficult because of the pitches get slower. But as Warner pointed out last night, that when we had the start, you know, when we have given such a good start, there has to be one or two players who take the game to the last and finish it off for us. I think it is as simple as that. And clearly KKR and SRH, who have failed to chase targets so far, they haven't found that one particular player who could do that. So it all comes down to that only.
One thing that Warner also said was that we needed to play smart cricket. So the point that I'm making, Jigar, I'm asking to you this time. The point that I'm making is that maybe in a generation where batsmen are expected to hit those big sixes, maybe we are losing the batsmen who could actually play smart cricket and probably can find those gaps and score those doubles and singles. Because you can play in the slow pitch if you have an equation where you need maybe, let's say, a 10 or 12 required rate if you have. But if you have a run a ball, I mean, that is on any pitch achievable if you just keep your head down, if you are calm, composed, and you keep taking singles and doubles. I mean, you are eventually playing at an elite stage. You are capable enough to be picked for that stage. That means you have got some talent. So that's my point, Jigar. Do you think that we are now getting into a generation where singles and doubles are going to get lost? I mean, people would not know. I mean, Kohli is doing it. Maybe we won't have any more of Kohlis and all, and everybody will probably going for singles, and then we would have collapses like this and finishes like this.
Ujjwal, I think a lot of it is not what you think, basically, because last year also we saw that on the three grounds, the batsmen were not able to adapt to the conditions. Adapting to the conditions is very crucial when you are playing in such a long tournament, and adapting quickly is also one of the key things which Mumbai Indians got right last year. If you see, they played really well on the three different grounds that they played. So adapting to the conditions is very important. When we speak about chasing the totals, it has been a problem just with the Chennai ground, because in Mumbai, apart from one match, other totals have been chased down. The Chennai pitches are getting slower and slower, basically. And that coupled with the fact that you can see the trend that now captains are winning the toss and batting first there. Whereas at Wankhede, the captains are winning the toss and bowling first. So that tendency where the pitches are getting slower and the batsmen, coupled with the fact that batsmen are not able to adapt to the conditions. You can see that even the experienced players in that KKR match, they played some really poor, they had some really poor shot selection when the target was achievable easily, could have been achievable easily. So that adapting to their conditions and getting the strategy right is very important on these kind of pitches. And as a couple of captains also said, Kohli also said, and I think Warner also said that day, that what is important is that you have an anchor man, the batsman who gets settled, and he goes off and finishes off the match, basically. We have seen a lot of times the batsman who is set, he throws away his wicket kind of in the 16th or 17th over, and the game suddenly turns around, which is which provides the impetus and momentum for the opposition team. One wicket and you see 2-3 wickets fall in a cluster, or the opposition putting a lot of pressure and bowling a lot of dots. One thing is that the players do not want the pressure to go to the last over. That's why they are trying to go for those big shots and trying to finish it off. But adapting to this strategy will be important, where you just play according to the situation, according to the conditions, and rather than going for the big shots when the target is around, when the gap between runs required and the balls is 10 or 12, just make sure that you keep your wicket, and the hitting will be done in the last couple of overs or maybe last three overs. That should be the strategy. Where you save your wicket, you have an anchor man who saves the wicket, you have a batsman at the other end who can attack, and then just balance it in this way, rather than everyone going for a big shot and then the game suddenly turning around.
Fair enough. That's also a good point. But as someone who loves the sport and as a fan, I have felt that the quality at the back end is missing. As you said, that Kohli and Warner pointing out that they needed an anchor man. Your point is right. Okay, you need an anchor man to be out there in the middle who is set and settled to finish off the chases. But even that anchor man, if the pitch is slowing down, won't be able to hit the big shots. Even that anchor man would require some singles and doubles here and there. And that is what exactly I'm trying to point out. I am seeing a complete lack of singles and doubles. And I am seeing a case where everybody is trying to just hit their way through to the final target. And they are eventually playing, and that's what I'm pointing out. I think maybe if teams just are able to maintain a balance between hitting and taking singles and doubles, they would have done it. KKR, Dinesh Karthik, Andre Russell could have easily won that game had they just taken some single doubles. They played a lot of dot balls also there, and eventually the pressure got to them. And even in SRH game also, I mean, okay, they lost wickets and all, but if they had got runs on every delivery, they would have been very close to the target. But that's something which time will tell. Before we end up, we will talk about some of the young players who have impressed us in this IPL. Harshal Patel obviously took a 5-wicket haul, uncapped player again. He became the first pacer, bowler actually, in IPL to take a 5-wicket haul against Mumbai Indians. Avesh Khan has done very well for Delhi Capitals. Arshdeep Singh has done very well again for Punjab Kings. In that game that they won against Rajasthan Royals, he defended 13 runs in the final over. And then again, the game that they lost against Delhi Capitals, he was the best bowler with, I think, an economy rate of 7.3, when everyone with Richardson, Shami, Meredith going for more than 12 and all. So, Shubham, who have been the players who have impressed you the most, the uncapped Indian players?
Yeah, I guess these three only, I know, because especially for me, Avesh, I spoke to him, you know, I have a, when I started my career in journalism in 2015, I was covering Avesh also. He was, we heard about this really good fast bowler from Indore, and he was selected for the India under-19 team, the same team for which Rishabh Pant and Ishan Kishan also played, and Kishan captained that went to the finals. So even those days when I spoke to him, he wanted to bowl fast, you know, bowl with fierce pace. And he used to clock 130, 131 consistently at that age of 17 or 18 years, you know. So he's come a long way. He's traveled in the Indian team also for a very long time now. I think he went to Australia as well. He went to England with Deepak Chahar as a net bowler. And he's been with Delhi Capitals for a couple of seasons from 2018, but he didn't get many games. I think he played a game each in 2019 and 2020. So this time around, with unavailability of Rabada and Nokia in the first two games and with Ishant ruled out, I think he had the opportunity. He was given the new ball by Ricky Ponting and Rishabh Pant, and he was told to do the job. And I think he did a terrific job in the first game. And even today, he was among the, they went for runs, Delhi Capitals, but he was among those pacers with the least economy rate. So yeah, he's really taking this opportunity and wants to do well and stay with the Delhi Capitals for a long time. And also, Harshal Patel has impressed us all with, you know, even last year, he was good. I don't think so. He started off in the playing 11, then Kohli brought him in and he delivered. And I think he's playing in IPL 2021 from the first game itself, and 5-wicket haul, and everything is going his way. So yeah, the hard work can be seen, and the results are coming for him. So especially with his off cutters, and you know, he solved that problem for RCB, for, you know, in that death over specialist he's become for them. One of the reasons why teams have not been able to chase, actually, because the bowling at death, especially from RCB and Mumbai Indians, have been so on the spot. And of course, Arshadeep, you know, such a young man, but he has such a good head and has a very good action as well, has a good height. So great, you know, already we have some such a great culture, pace bowling culture in the country, and these bowlers are also coming up.
Yeah, I mean, IPL is regularly credited for strengthening India's bench strength and backup players. And the story of Harshal Patel, Avesh Khan, Ashdeep Singh tells you why IPL is credited so much. Jigar, what is it about the pacers, uncapped pacers, that that are making so much noise this season? And what are the other names that have impressed you?
So for me, the three names that have impressed me the most has been Harshal Patel, Arshdeep Singh and Chetan Sakaria. So basically these are the pacers, this generation of pacers have been watching a lot of cricket, they have been playing a lot of domestic cricket, and they have been sharing the dressing room with some of the greats, and They are smart. These bowlers are now smart and have the variations in their bank, basically. If you see, Chetan Sakaria has that back of the hand slower ball that he bowls. And then there is Harshal Patel, who bowls that slower deliveries at the death, which are very difficult to hit on slower pitches. So these bowlers, not only they are smart, they are fearless also. They want to take up the responsibility. After taking that 5-4, Harshal Patel gave a really impressive interview in the post-match presentation, where Kohli also lauded him and said that he was up for taking that responsibility. And it shows. I'll give you some stats. He's the highest wicket taker at the death, and has the with 8 wickets, and has the lowest economy rate in the death over, that is 5.27. 5.27 economy rate at the death is just brilliant. And in the power play overs, both Arshdeep and Harshal Patel have done really well in the power play overs as well as the death overs also. So Arshdeep is the joint highest wicket taker in the power play overs, and Harshal Patel, as I said, he has the best economy rate in the death overs and also has taken the most number of wickets. And Chetan Sakaria has the fourth best economy rate in the power play overs. It's just 6 runs per over. So these bowlers, they are delivering in the most difficult stages of the game, which is the power play overs and the death overs. They are fearless, basically. They are not scared of getting hit. But they try their variations. They are not scared of trying their variations. And they are really smart enough now, these young generation of bowlers.
Yeah, you are right. And one another name who has already made a match-winning contribution this season is Shahbaz Ahmed, who took those 3 wickets against Sunrisers as RCB defeated SRH. So there have been a lot of Indian youngsters and capped Indian players who are impressing. And as Jigar said, one of the best thing about them has been how brave they have been about implementing the plans and showcasing their skills. That has been heartening, and obviously we all know it is going to benefit Indian cricket in future. But that's it. It was a great discussion, Jigar and Shubham. Thank you for joining and sharing your insights.
Thanks, Ujwal. It was a great week of cricket. A great 8-9 days of cricket, and we have almost, I think, almost covered the main points which were there in these days.
The thing with IPL is that IPL always have a lot to talk. So, but we obviously can only cover so much. But then that is why we will keep coming back every other week. This podcast would be available on Audio Boom. Subsequently, it would also be available on Spotify, Google Podcast, or whichever platform you prefer. If you have any feedback, please give it to us on Twitter. Our sports handle is @FirstPostSports. We will be back next week. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. See you soon. Bye.